Well, welcome. Just love this song, singing of the goodness of God. How many of us are doing that over Thanksgiving, right? That's really what it is. It's just a sing of the goodness of God. And so what a praise, what a praise. And so welcome. Hope you are all doing well this morning. Welcome, Trinity Lions Church. If you're new here, or even if you have been here for years and have lots of questions or things, comments, please fill out this connection card. It's in the seat behind you. And if you don't want to fill it out with all the good stuff, you could do the QR code. That's using your phone. That's for maybe some of the more newer, higher tech people. But anyhow, welcome. So glad you're all here. You know, we're here. We're journeying, you know, together in this. But our mission is to really enjoy our relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's, you know, how do you do that? How do you do that? Part of the way we do that here at Trinity Alliance is we journey together in humility and in honesty. And so part of the ways of doing that is between the tables. We just all got done with that, so it's not after the service. But, you know, if you've missed it in the past, I say come early and enjoy the between the table in between the services. It's just such a blessing of a time to be together and get to know people. And I'm getting to know more and more people. I should, you know, after you've been here for a while, you think you should know people, but we have so many new people. It's fun to get to know new people. And then the people that you already know, there's so much happening in our lives, right? So to share it. Anyhow, you're welcome to come to Between the Table. Another way of journeying in life together, I'm Derek Willis. I apologize if I didn't introduce myself. thank you, Scott. we have our annual celebration coming up. I was saying December 6th. That happens to be next Saturday. So less than a week away, this coming Saturday, December 6th at 6 o'clock is our annual celebration. And I invite you all to come and enjoy that. It's a great way to look back and see what God has done. You know, one of the things that he's been talking to me about lately is my perspective on things. So often I could see a negative or the negatives. And he's saying, no. Look at all the things that are happening that are positive. You know, like that grandchild that's crying and screaming, pick it up and enjoy the life in that kid, right? Crying and screaming, it's alive. and you know, they're just the way I see things makes all the difference in the world. And so that's part of what that annual celebration is to come and view things from seeing how God's been working our lives. And if you have something to share, come and share it next week. So Saturday at 6 o'clock, next Saturday, December 6th. Another way that we're journeying life together, this is more for the women, is the women's Christmas celebration is coming up. It's the 4th, December 4th, so this coming Thursday, I think it is. Yeah, that's right. at 5:30, it's up at the Gufskis. All the information's in the bulletin, so please look at your bulletin and check that out. And the women, you're welcome to go to that. Should be a great time. Another way that we enjoy our journey with Christ, just enjoying our relationship with Jesus, is by engaging our neighbors. And one of the ways we do that here at Trinity Alliance, I've done it for years, is the Bella Vista Luncheon. I don't remember how many years we've been doing it, a number of years, but a great way to reach out to our neighbors, the people in the Bella Vista area, and that's kind of where we, quote-unquote, live. And we just provide lunch to the staff once a month, roughly, and what a great way to bless them. And so if you want to be a part of that, Penny's still part of that. She's always looking for volunteers. And it is a blessing to go and be a part of that. So if you want to, talk to Penny. She will drag you along. It's fun. Another way to engage our neighbors, it's also a personal thing, but we have offering as we'll start up during the next song. But that offering helps supply for the staff and things that are going on here, but also it also helps supply for others and engagement. Anyhow, just wanted to let you know that's coming up. Segueing over to Advent. we're starting Advent this week. This is the first Advent of the month. I wouldn't even say that, before Christmas. And so our theme is hope. And Jesus is our hope. And, you know, it's not just that he came once, right? That was a hope, especially, you know, in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Messiah. And the Messiah came. And that's our hope today, is our Messiah that came. But it is also our future hope that he will return for his church. And so I want to read today about the hope. And this is found in Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. And it's really about our hope in the future. And this is how Isaiah saw it. The words of that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And with that, I'll light the Advent candle and pass it on.
Good morning. I am Pastor Sean, and I am glad to be here after a busy Thanksgiving week. Everybody have a good week? Yes? Eat some food, have some turkey, all that kind of stuff. I got to go up and see my kids and grandkids, which was amazing. Glad to be able to do that. But I come back a little exhausted, right? You know, kind of like, you know, said first service, like, you know, this kind of like grandkid hangover, right? You know, like, oh, wow, man, it was a crazy week. I'm glad. I mean, I remember when I was 20-something and having kids, like, I mean, they were tiring then, but now I was like, wow, my gosh, man, what happened? It didn't help, though, that, you know, the Berlin people decided to come back at midnight last night, and my wife was with them, so I had to go pick her up at the Reading Airport at midnight last night, so I am kind of running on fumes. I'm glad that at least one of them showed up today, though. Thank you, Sarah, for representing. Glad you're here. The rest of them, I don't know what they're doing. You know, they could go all the way to Berlin, but they can't make it to Sunday morning for service. I don't know what's up with that. You get a gold star. I mean, yeah, gold star. That's great. Glad they had a great trip. I haven't heard a lot yet about it, but we will hear more in the weeks to follow, maybe even this coming Saturday at the annual celebration. Again, just encourage you to come out. Even if you're haven't been in our church for a long time, maybe you're relatively new to our church, it's a great way to get to know our church and hear more about what God's been doing in our church and in the lives of individuals. Also, just opportunity to, you know, fellowship and then do a relationship together and have conversations together. And so, yeah, I just encourage you to come out, all of you, and when you do come out, be ready to share your God stories, right, and the ways that you know, you're thankful for what he has done in your life this last year. It's always a great event, and I'm excited to be there this Saturday at 6 o'clock. All right, so we are, first Sunday of Advent. Super excited to start. I love this season. I love the holidays. I love the different feel about all of the next month and a half here, you know, that we've had 6 weeks, you know, kind of leading into Thanksgiving and then throughout the rest of the year. I don't know, it is a time of year that I get excited about. I just love so much of what's going on. I love that we have a whole holiday that is centered around being thankful, right? I mean, I think that is such a huge thing, right? That we as Americans, you know, in this, you know, world, I mean, this is what the Berlin team went to do in Berlin, right? Is to share this amazing holiday, this thanks, this day where we can sit around the table and be thankful for what, you know, as what we've been experiencing in the last year. I think that's beautiful. And then the second thing I think, you know, we see is it's centered on Jesus as well, right? I mean, that's Christmas, right? This whole next month, the Advent is all about Jesus. And I think those are such huge perspectives and concepts and beautiful things to celebrate. And I love it. I really enjoy it. I know certainly the holidays can be a challenge for some of us, especially those who have lost loved ones as we miss them and wish, you know, that they were there with us in those celebrations and we remember back to when they were, and those memories sometimes conjure up some tears and all of that, or maybe, you know, just family has been really hard, and so the holidays become just a time of loneliness and a time where you kind of feel like you're missing out on so much, and if that's you, I just encourage you as well. I understand the challenge that can create. But again, it's about Thanksgiving and it's about Jesus. And so no matter our family situation, no matter our relational situation, may we take these last 4 weeks to focus our attention once again on Jesus, who loves us, who's our Savior, who died for us, and who is indeed coming again. Fitting for us to now enter into the Advent season after completing our work through the book of Revelation, where we focused on Christ's second coming, to be able to now kind of step back a little bit and look back in history and remember the first Advent, right? Remember the first waiting, remember the first coming of Jesus the Messiah. These are important perspectives to have because it unites us together with the church. Indeed, all of God's people for all of history have been in seasons of Advent, waiting on Jesus to show up, right? The pre-Messiah days, the church, Israel, Jews were all waiting for that Messiah, that one day when he would come come to earth. And now we, for the last 2,000 years, are continuing to wait for his return. Advent is, again, a beautiful season and fitting for us to take time to think through. This year, I am excited to be able to once again be reminded of each of the Advent themes that we always typically go back to year after year: hope, faith, joy, and peace. This year, we are coming at each of these themes in a little bit different angle, to recognize them as being character qualities. Hope, faith, joy, peace. These are character qualities, but they're distinct character qualities to the people of God. You know, the world all would love to have hope and desires hope, faith, joy, and peace. They that's one of the things they long for, one of the things they wish they had, right? One of the things that they're always trying to discover and find. But the world has no hope. It has no faith. It has no joy, and it has no peace. It is only those who are in relationship with our Creator that find these qualities begin to bubble up in us. They are a natural result of our relationship with the one who created us and created all that's around us. They are character qualities that are sparked by and developed in intimacy with Jesus. And they find their strength in relationship, not positive thinking. They find their depth in living life with Jesus, not in some conjured up self-esteem. Again, the world desires these things. It desires hope, faith, joy, and peace, but and it tries to create them in their world. But all that the world has to offer are cheap imitations. The world has wishful thinking and luck-based hope. The world has self-absorbed and fear-filled faith. The world has happy and circumstance-based joy. And the world has power-based and emotion-numbing peace. All are, again, cheap imitations. They are lesser versions of the true hope, faith, joy, and peace that comes to all who are in relationship with Jesus. It is these four qualities that we will once again focus on over the next 4 weeks. And we have the privilege, as we got together a couple of months ago to begin to think about Advent and kind of how we want to do this, the theme of woven came to our minds. And we kind of began to brainstorm a little bit about that and came to this discovery, this beautiful reality that these character qualities that are naturally part of who we are as people of God are woven through all of our lives, throughout history, throughout our individual lives, but also are woven throughout our mission as the church. And so over the next 4 weeks, we are going to see these different qualities and how they have been woven through history and the people of God, through the life and experiences of Jesus himself, and also through individuals who are a part of this church body. I'm excited to be able to have someone to be able to share this morning in our service, to be able to give testimony to the hope that she has experienced as a child of God. And that person is Kathy Schoeneman. Kathy is an amazing woman, if you haven't got to know her yet, and her husband's pretty amazing as well. If you haven't got to, such a depth of character in so many different ways. Things that they've experienced in their life and continue to walk through that are challenging, but also so filled with hope. One of the things that I would say I have already always seen in Kathy is a person who has this unshakable hope. And we get to hear a little bit of that story in a little bit. So thank you, Kathy, for coming and sharing. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a couple other people preaching through this series as well. So I'm doing this week. And then next week we have Bertie Wolski, who's going to be able to come and preach and do his first sermon with us next week. So that's exciting. And that'll be based on the topic of faith. And then I will come back and do joy the third week. And then the fourth week will be finished out with Pastor Jesse, who will do a message on peace. In this series, Bertie, Jesse, and I will identify these character qualities in a specific individual in biblical history, in the life of Jesus, and in one of TAC's congregants. And we hope to show how these Advent themes weave their way through the lives of God's people, even in the most challenging of times, and as such have become some of the most attractive aspects of Christianity in the world. So this morning we have hope. Hope is not wishful thinking. It is not a meaningless trust in luck. True hope is a sure, confident trust and the only one who is faithful. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. True hope is founded in the all-powerful and all-good creator of the universe. The all-powerful God, the all-good God, that is where hope is founded. It's founded in the fact that he is able to do whatever he says he will do. But more than that, he is unable to fail to do what he says he is going to do. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and he will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Amen. We have a God who is powerful enough to do what he says and good enough to always follow through with what he said he's going to do. True hope is relational. When we know God loves us, when we know God is with us, it results in hope. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And true hope is deepened in the midst of trials and suffering. It is a life with Jesus in the midst of painful and difficult circumstances that produces both endurance, character, and hope. Romans 5:1-5. Scott prayed this passage just a minute ago. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. But God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. True hope is a sure trust in the one who is faithful, and it is founded in the all-powerful and all-good creator of the universe. True hope is relational and is deepened in the trials and suffering of life. True hope is a character quality that comes from having an intimate relationship with the all-powerful God and all-good creator of the universe. So now let's take a moment to trace this quality through the timeline of God's people. Again, each of us over the next 4 weeks will be taking one individual from the Old Testament and examining them as an example of whatever theme that we're dealing with. So today is hope. And then we will also go to the life of Jesus and consider an experience or a time where he exemplified hope. And then finally, we will have a testimony of someone in the church who has walked through that particular theme and has experienced that amazing character quality as well to share with us. So let's start with the Old Testament individual that I selected for hope, and that is Joseph. Joseph, Genesis chapter 37 through 50, a broad scope, a lot of written about the life of Joseph. And if you've never written or not aware of this individual in biblical history, I would encourage you to take some time this week to read through these chapters. Joseph is an amazing man and a core individual in the people of God and the development of their faith and of their hope. At the beginning of Joseph's life, God gave Joseph a dream. A dream about shocking future events. A dream for a kid, 16, 17 years old, a kid who didn't even really maybe know what to do with the dream, but he just had this dream, and you probably remember the dream, right? He's a hay bale, right? And he stands up strong and bright, and then his 11 brothers are all hay bales as well, and they all start bowing down to him, right? I mean, what a crazy, crazy dream. I mean, it's crazy because of who he was. He was the youngest in the family. Like, he was down below. No one would be serving him. Everyone would be serving the older brother. All would be bowing down to the older brother. So how in the world would all of his brothers come to the day when they would be bowing down to him? But to Joseph's credit, he chose to believe God and put his hope in this dream that God had given him. Actually, kind of amazing as you continue to read through Joseph's life that he chose to believe God. Perhaps we could, you know, chalk it up to, you know, just being young, right? Oh, he just has no idea, right? He goes out to his brothers and shares a dream with them. And I don't think he had a clue that this would be offensive. I think he was excited. I think he was like, all right, you got to listen to this amazing dream I had. You guys got to tell you. And then they responded so negatively. But despite the ridicule of his brothers, Joseph believed God and put his hope in him. Despite his brothers going the next step and selling him into slavery because of the dream, Joseph chose to believe God and put his hope in him. Despite the false accusations of Potiphar's wife that landed him in jail, Joseph continued to believe God. And despite being totally forgotten in the midst of jail, Joseph still had hope that God would do what he said he would do. We see in the story of Joseph this beautiful thing that I think is so important to all of these character qualities, because again, these character qualities come out of relationship. And so as Joseph chooses to put his hope in God, God continues to be with Joseph. We see this in how God protected Joseph from being killed at 17 as he shares this story, and his brothers, they just want to wipe him out. They just want to take him off, right? You know, we're going to kill him right here. But God protects him. God blessed him as a slave. He sold as a slave, but yeah, then he was elevated and became overseeing all in Potiphar's house. Amazing how God had blessed him. Everything he touched seemed to kind of turn into gold, right? And then after he got put in prison, God blessed him again as a prisoner. And he was in charge of the prison because the guardian of the prison recognized his skills and his abilities and how everything he did was blessed. And then God blessed him by giving him opportunities to serve others and blessed him eventually by actually fulfilling his dream. And in the midst of all that was going on, we see, if you read through the story of Joseph, you will see these highlights throughout and recognize that Joseph indeed continued to have hope in God. He continued to believe God, believe that the dreams were from God and that God was going to do what he promised. And we see this through how he worked so hard and faithfully for his human master, Potiphar. It could have been really easy for him to go in there and begin to sulk and to be, you know, upset at his situation. It would be easy for us to see him, you know, becoming, you know, being a horrible slave, a horrible worker, because he had no motivation to do it. But he worked faithfully for his human master. We see his continued hope in the fact that he resisted the temptation of Potiphar's wife. Again, if he had given up hope, if he had given up on the dream, if the selling into slavery and the mockery of his brothers and all that he had endured, if that had caused his hope to be dissipated, then he would have just given in to the temptation. Why not? If he had thought, no, there's no way that dream, I must have been just crazy. That was definitely not from God. Then yeah, you'd give in to that, because why not? I mean, God has obviously left him. We see Joseph's hope in this trustworthiness to the jailer and to his fellow prisoners, and how he gave true interpretations to the cupbearer and baker, and how he blessed and honored his brothers when they eventually arrived in Egypt. Joseph, over and over again, put his hope in the promises declared by God, and many were saved. Genesis 50, verse 20. At the end of Joseph's life here, and his family's all in Egypt. If you know the story, it's an amazing story. And his father finally dies, and so his brothers are kind of freaking out. They think now Joseph's going to wipe him out because he's bitter about them selling him into slavery. But he gathers them all around him, puts his arms around him, and says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive," or some versions say, should be saved as they are today. This is the other aspect of true hope in all of these characteristics, Advent characteristics, that they produce new believers as people, as the world sees them. Next, we will move into the life of Jesus. Now, Jesus, of course, is a divine figure, right? And so he's God, but he's also human. And so I want to invite us to consider Jesus from that human perspective today, to imagine his situation and what he's going through and how he, in his humanity, expressed and was an exemplified hope. And where I want to start is in Matthew chapter 3 with his baptism in the beginning of his ministry, verses 16 and 17. "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Here, God declares to Jesus his identity and his position, and Jesus chose to believe God and put his hope in him. Despite 30 years of being on the earth, with all of this expectation, can you imagine the tension that he probably walked through? All the noise around his birth, right? This miraculous events and all the things that were going on. His mother and father knew, there were others that knew, that, you know, that Jesus was special, that he was going to do something amazing. And for 30 years, nothing. Despite the 30 years of waiting, Jesus chooses to believe God and put hope in this declaration of identity that he is God's son and that God is already pleased with him. Despite the rejection by the pastors of his time and other religious leaders and even his family, Jesus chose to believe God and to put his hope in him. Despite being misunderstood everywhere he went, seemed like, I mean, it could have been really easy for him just to walk away because nobody ever will understand what he's saying. But he chooses to believe God and hope in him. Despite Judas's kiss, despite Peter's betrayal, despite the lashes, the nails, and death, Jesus believed God and put his hope in him. And as a result, we see God continuing to be with Jesus throughout his life. God was preparing him for ministry in those 30 years before that word finally came, but he continued to prepare him over the next 3 years for the cross. God blessed him with healing words and touch. God blessed him with power to calm the wind and the waves. He blessed him to nourish both body and soul. He blessed him with even a renewed declaration towards the end of his life. Matthew 17, verses 2 to 5. "And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. This is going to be amazing." He was still speaking when, behold, the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Throughout all that Jesus experienced in his 3 years of ministry and before, he continued to believe God and put his hope in him. And we see evidence of it over and over again because he had compassion on the lost and the confused masses. He didn't just desert them. It could have been really easy for him just to kind of isolate. Okay, oh, you guys don't get it. All right, this is why I even try. We're done. Jesus protected the oppressed and the marginalized. He boldly and courageously proclaimed truth. He healed those who believed in him and prayed for those who rejected him. He willingly received accusation, torture, and death. Jesus put his hope in the truth of God's word. And as a result, again, many were saved. Now we're going to have Kathy, a real live child of God who is among us today, is going to come and she's going to share a bit of her testimony and excited for her to be able to share. And so will you welcome Kathy and Wynn, her husband, up and let's hear their testimony. So.
Good morning. I'm Kathy. This is obviously my husband, Wynn. So today I'm going to share with you about hope, but the kind of hope that's an anchor for the soul when the storms of life hit you with full force. The end of year 2010 was such a storm for me. It felt like a relentless hailstorm with baseball-sized hail that threatened to destroy my entire world. That year, my oldest sister, Joy, who was like a mom to me, battled breast and bone cancer. We brought her in to my home to be with us, and we cared for her in hospice until she passed away. The weight and grief of that loss was immense. And then 2 months before she died, my 12-year marriage ended in divorce. And in the midst of the overwhelming sorrow, my oldest son, in his own pain and confusion, ran away. So within 2 short months, I had lost my sister, my marriage, and my son was out of reach. And honestly, it felt like my heart had fractured into a million pieces at that point. So the darkness felt absolute, and the despair was suffocating. I was swimming in a storm of grief so big that I could hardly get out of bed in the morning. Everything I had to do seemed 100 times harder than it needed to be. And I felt utterly abandoned, and I fell to my knees and I asked God, "Why me? Where are you in this chaos?" I felt the truth of Job's words in 9:17 when he said, "He breaks me with storm after storm. He multiplies my wounds without cause." My world was going dark pretty quickly, and I had nowhere to look in this world but up. I had to absolutely surrender to the will of God and cling to the anchor of God's word. I had to actively choose to hold on to the one thing that is never changing, and that is my hope in Jesus. I clung to promises like Psalm 34:18, which says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I started to realize that while my circumstances seemed unbearable to me, God was with me in the pain. He didn't promise us an easy life, but he did promise his presence. He was there when I couldn't talk, but just sobbed. He heard my cries, and he saw every single tear. And every morning I woke up, I had to remind myself that his mercies were new, as told to us in Lamentations 3:21-23. The darkness didn't disappear overnight, but a flicker of hope did begin to grow. I learned that true hope is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God in the trouble. Slowly, as I continued to seek him, my happiness began to return. My son eventually did come home and started his own journey of healing. And my heart is still hurting over my sister, the loss of my sister. But honestly, I have peace knowing where she is and that I will see her again. And the divorce brought, of course, unexpected strength, but also a new start. And then, of course, I met my new husband, which he's amazing, like Pastor Sean said. Mm-hmm. So during Advent, we light the first candle as a reminder of the hope and the light that Jesus brings to a world struggling in darkness. That light, even a small flicker, can push back an overwhelming shadow. The prophet Isaiah spoke of this light long ago, and Matthew reminded us of his words in Matthew 4:16. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those things in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The promise of life is what sustained me when things felt impossible. Hope is not pretending that the pain is not real. It's acknowledging the pain and choosing to look toward the source of light. It reminded me that darkness is temporary, but the light of Jesus is eternal. I learned to lean into God's presence daily, sometimes minute by minute. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that this hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 6:19. So if for some reason you find yourself in your own year, 2010, swimming in a sea of grief and despair, remember that hope has a name, and it is Jesus. You are not alone. He will never leave you or forsake you. The light that the Advent candle represents is for you and right now. Cling to that hope. Let it be the strength that gets you through, and may his peace and his presence prevail in your life, even in the storm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kathy. So good. We have a tendency in our day and age, 2,000 years removed from the events of Scripture and of biblical history, we have a tendency to kind of feel like the stuff in Scripture, Jesus and all the characters and different individuals, that they're kind of like these made-up mirages of somebody in the past, but really not somebody that we can really relate to. So the power of testimony is that there is someone here among us in this time, in this moment, in this place, among us who we know, who we can talk to, who we can interact with, who we can listen to them share their story, that brings the realities and the truths of Scripture right into our faces and right into our lives right now. Thank you, Kathy, for being vulnerable and for sharing the hard times of life. I know you have so many joys in your life as well, and again, as I mentioned earlier, you are a person of hope. I've known your story, had the occasion to get to know your story more and more over the last few years, and it's amazing to see God's light shine through you. God encouraged Kathy in the midst of the storm, that he is near the brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18, right? The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Kathy was brokenhearted. Her spirit was crushed. And in the midst of that, God shows up and speaks. And Kathy chose to believe God and put her hope in him. Despite the exhausting hospice care for her sister, she chose to believe God. Despite watching her sister slowly die. Despite being rejected by her husband. Despite a beloved son becoming estranged, she chose to believe God and put her hope in him. Despite the deepest sorrow, suffocating despair, and feeling abandoned by her Savior and Lord, she chose to believe God. And in the midst of her choosing to believe God, God was with her. He blessed her with the strength to care for her sister. He blessed her to honor her sister's life as she died. He blessed her with comfort in the midst of mourning. And he blessed her by speaking words of love and encouragement in her ear. He blessed her with the power to love those who abandoned her. And he blessed her to reimagine her life. And as Kathy walked through this time, we see evidence of the continued hope that she placed in God, evidenced by the sacrificial walk with her sister through those final days, the choice to forgive her ex-husband, to patiently wait for her son's return, and resisting the temptation in the midst of all of that she was dealing with, and the pain and the struggle and the sorrow and the mourning, the guilt. She chose to not turn away from Jesus. Hebrews 6:17-19, she read already verse 19, but this is an encouragement from the Lord to her, and she experienced it once, and let's read it again. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Kathy, in the midst of the struggle and the storm, with God proving himself faithful to be with her each and every day, Kathy continued to put her hope in the sustaining power of God. And many were saved. Last May, she and Wynn got married, and that same weekend, I and Jesse had the privilege of going out to the lake, and we baptized 15 of her family. It's amazing. The reality of these natural character qualities that come out for all of God's people is salvations. People see those qualities. They see hope in somebody else, and they want it. They desire it because they know the hope they have is not real hope. It's not true hope. It's fleeting hope. Worship team, come on up as I say some concluding statements here on this message. Hope is a character quality, again, of all God's people. and it naturally grows an intimate relationship with Jesus. Hope has been woven throughout every generation of God's people. And the more of life we experience with God personally, the more hope is woven into our lives. Hope is strengthened in the midst of suffering. Trials drive us to the only one who can save us, and as he responds, hope is stirred and strengthened in each of us. And hope attracts the world to Jesus. Living and speaking hope in all of our encounters and relationships will draw those who've yet to come into relationship with Jesus. This Advent season, as we await our Savior's return, let us join with all God's people in clinging to a sure hope, founded in intimate relationship, deepened by trials, and attractive to all who don't know Jesus. May we enjoy this powerful character quality of hope as it is woven through history and now as it is woven into our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Amen. Yes, Lord, we speak Jesus. We cry out to Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us so much, that you came and laid your life down for us. You resurrected from the dead, and then you invite us into intimacy with you. Lord, help us to continue to experience that true intimacy that develops these character qualities that we all long for. Hope is ours in Jesus. It's not something we conjure up. It's not something we fake. It's not something that we have to try to figure out how to make it happen. It's something that naturally comes out of an understanding and a relationship with the God of the universe, knowing that he's all-powerful and he's all-good, that he's always going to do what he says he's going to do, and that he's always going to be with us. And no matter what happens, the end is something beautiful for us. Eternity is ours. Eternal life is ours. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for what you offer. Thank you for sending your Spirit to be with us. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to allow us to experience greater levels of hope, especially in those times of trials, the times when it seems like you've deserted us, you've left us, times when there's just more pain and suffering than anything that seems to be good or loving. Lord, help us in those times. Again, not to fake some kind of, you know, imitation hope, but Lord, help us to believe God and to put our hope in you, to turn our eyes towards you over and over again. Lamentations 3 was a significant passage for Kathy, and so we close with verses 19 through 24. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What does he call to mind? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being with us this morning, and I also wanted to give just a final thank you to Jason and his daughters for coming and sharing with us the last few weeks. They've led the last 3 weeks. This is the last Sunday. We'll have Grace back leading next week, which is great as well. But thank you guys for coming and just sharing your gifts and worshiping the Lord with us and leading us in worshiping him as well. It's really been a sweet time of worship. We've got another song. If you want to stick around, they would love to have a big group singing out with them one more time. And then our prayer team will be up at the front. If you would like to have prayer for whatever it may be this morning, we would love to pray for you. And then afterwards, the fellowship hall is available. Just stick around. Have have some conversations, encourage one another, speak life over one another. This is a great time to fellowship together on Sundays as well. So God bless you, church. Have a great Sunday.